Welcome back to the program. Phil Moss has made his way in. I'll tell you what.
You sound still... so surprised.
He does. Well, hang on. Last time I saw you, you were sitting right next to Alan Stajic. I thought, oh, look at Mossy, isn't
and
he?
Mossy handles the pressure
very well.
Around.
I do get around.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You're on Wall Street.
Handle the pressure well there, Mossy.
Yeah, it was good. Thank you, Ray. Yeah, look, it was a tough experience, not so much for me, but for Alan Stajic. Mm. I thought he handled himself exceptionally well, as you know, there's a lot of frustration behind the scenes for him because he still, to this day, hasn't got the reason.
There is one, because David Gallup said there was on the announcement of Ante Milicic.
And then didn't reveal what it was.
Yeah, he said, no, there's a good reason he had to get rid of him.
Yeah.
What was it?
Yeah.
That he won't
know.
Say. Yeah.
Yeah. And we continue to, you know, we continue to fight for that, not just for Alan Stajic, but for every coach, male and female, who is removed of their duties and their responsibilities as a coach. I think anyone in any walk of life would walk into an office when they're being removed from their position and say, why?
Correct. Well, Alan's reputation's at stake here as well. And his coaching career potentially could be very harmed by this incident. He's got no right of recall, no reason for why he's been sacked. There can't be performance, as you said, from day one.
If I'm the CEO or the owner of a football club anywhere around the world, I am not hiring Alan Stajic until I understand why he was dismissed from his previous position.
Yeah, it really is. And that's what's going on behind the scenes. FFA have moved on. They've appointed Ante Milicic. Delighted for him as a fellow coach. You know, he's certainly done a very long apprenticeship as an assistant coach with the Melbourne Heart, Western Sydney Wanderers, the Socceroos, the Olleroos. You know, so he gets his crack at a World Cup now. So that's that point, that side of it. But on the other side, it won't go away until Alan Stajic has got reasons and he's had a chance. And this is the thing. He can't clear his name.
Correct.
Until he knows,
correct,
apparently what he's done wrong.
Yeah.
Allegedly what he's done wrong.
Yeah. Can I ask you this about Ante Milicic? Is it an issue that he hasn't coached a women's side before? Is it an issue that he hasn't really been a head coach, just an assistant coach before?
Well, look, it may be, but it may also be a blessing in disguise. To answer the first part of the question, Jimmy, the fact he hasn't coached women before could be a blessing.
Right.
But it could be an anchor. You don't know. What I do know is Ante is a fantastic coach with a great football brain. Mm. Attention to detail is second to none. So he's coaching a football team. He's coaching elite athletes.
Let's take gender out of it.
He's going to a World Cup, which he's been to two as an assistant. So he knows what to expect at a major tournament like that. You know, what's going to be new to him is taking a team to a World Cup that is amongst the favourites.
Yeah.
The Socceroos haven't been to a World Cup where they're amongst the contenders for the title. So that'll be new for him. But, you know, it's his now to prove his worth.
Just one final thing on Matildas. Phil, is his coaching staff, is it the same that was previously there? And if not, does he go in there and if it ain't broke, don't fix it? Does he basically go with the same structures?
Great question, Ray. Gary Van Egmond will remain. Emily Van Egmond's father, of course, and he's been around a long time. So I guess that helps
some
with the transition,
yep,
some continuity. Gary's well across, you know, being with the Matildas. And Ivan Jolic, who hasn't been involved with the Matildas before, has come in as another assistant with Ante. I think they work together with some of the younger Australian teams. And Mel Andrietta, who is the Brisbane Roar W League coach, and a highly valued member of Football Coaches Australia, she'll be working very closely with the team as well. So that's fantastic to see, you know, a female coach involved with the top team in the country. The Matildas is a great step forward.
Let's go to the EPL first up. Now, this was the interesting result at home. Burnley 2-1 over Tottenham. That's put a real hole in any hopes they had of being the premiers come the end of the season. Liverpool's to lose. But what about the blow-up from Mauricio?
Pochettino. Well, he's had two blow-ups, one at the referee and one in the presser after, where he said our title aspirations are now over.
Yes.
Which, you know, is probably a fair assumption. Is he saying it because he believes it? Is he saying it to take the pressure off his players and hope they go on this magnificent run with the last, I think, what have we got, 11 games to go? Who knows? But I would say it's put a massive, massive hole in their aspirations. They're now, what are they, 5 points behind Liverpool and Manchester City. Liverpool can go, will go 8 points clear tomorrow morning when they take on Manchester
confident,
United.
Confident, Phil?
Extremely confident. Extremely confident. Listen, Manchester United have kept one clean sheet in their last 12 home games. Liverpool are only one of three sides to score in every away game this season.
James is
well, you do the maths.
It's Old Trafford. It's Old Trafford, mate.
So for any punters who are out there who are looking to, you know, put a couple of hard-earned on.
Do it responsibly, but go responsibly. Hard at Liverpool, you reckon, at $2.30.
Go hard at Liverpool.
Score prediction?
I'm going to go 2-1.
Okay.
I think Liverpool will get the money 2-1. Okay. Manchester United will probably score first. Liverpool will come from behind and score two goals.
$8.50.
For 2-1.
2-1. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2-1. Liverpool's favour.
Important
written, spoken
game,
and authorised by the Liverpool Football Club, Phil Moss. Yeah,
important game.
Massive game. What about closer to home? Sydney FC, unconvincing against the Phoenix?
In the end, you would say that, but in the first 25 minutes, half an hour, they should have been 4-0 up.
Oh, right. Okay.
Simple as that.
This has been a problem most of the season, hasn't it, Phil? They've
been
creating opportunities, not converting.
Yeah, they have. That's true, although Lafondra was, he was on fire for the first sort of 12, 13 games. Then he went off the boil for a bit, scored 1 in 4, I think. Now he's back with two in his last three, I think. Mm-hmm. But both from the penalty spot and both earned by Alex Brosk off the bench. So Broski's making impact coming off the bench for Steve Corica. But yeah, certainly the final pass in the top third and the execution in front of goal is what's letting Steve Corica's team down at the moment. They were 1 point from six against Brisbane and the Mariners, who were the bottom two clubs. So yesterday's win over Wellington, who were in the top six, was a massive, massive relief.
If that's a problem for Sydney FC, it's a problem for the Socceroos. Why is that? And I know it's easy to say, we don't have a quality striker or, delivery or
world-class
all that sort of thing.
Striker, yeah.
But Lionel Messi, I know he's the best player in the world, but it doesn't seem to happen.
Well, he just scored his
50th hat trick.
Is that an all-time record?
I think it is.
I know we're talking about, the best. Mm. The best, arguably. But why is that such an issue for Australian sides?
Well, let's go to the Socceroos first. I believe it's because most of the top four positions in the top teams are occupied by foreign players.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we're not getting a chance to develop our own front men, our own wingers, number 10s, number 9s.
And is it our conservative style of play for the Socceroos? Because Ange Postecoglou tried to change that, didn't he?
Well, yeah. But, you could argue that it was no more offensive or defensive than other coaches who have had the Socceroos. There was a lot of talk around it, but if I look at the Ange era and I think about who was responsible for scoring the goals, it was probably one man.
Timmy Cahill.
And Mielo from the spot.
That's right. So make of that what you will. Mm. I know the way Graham Arnold coaches. I've obviously worked closely with him. He's all about getting bodies in the box. Mm. So when the ball's in advanced areas, you can often see three or four players
attack
the ball. Mm. So, everyone will have their different ideas on what's an offensive style of football and what's a defensive style. But, does a team that sits back in a block and hits teams on the break, do you call that defensive or offensive?
Yeah.
It's up for debate. But anyway, that's point one with the Socceroos. In the A-League, look, you couldn't fault the quality of the top four players. And when I say top four, attacking four players in the top four sides with regards to how good they are. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
At the moment for Sydney, they're still creating the chances. So if I'm Steve Corica, I'm thinking once we score more than one in a game, we're gonna smash someone. But it's the teams where you're not creating the chances. They're the coaches that would have more worry.
Is there a different way to look at that and say, wow, how good are they defensively and their goalkeeping in Australia?
Mm. Well, not if you're watching Brisbane Central Coast on Friday night.
5-3.
By the way, if you're an out of work defensive coach, put your CV into those two clubs.
Might be a job.
But no, seriously though, Jimmy. Look, the A League, I think as a product, has definitely improved. The quality is much higher, and yes, you can't just look at the attacking players. You do have to look at the defenders, the goalkeepers. We've got some fantastic goalkeepers. One of which played yesterday. Well, two. Andrew Redmayne's been fantastic as well. But this Curto, is a foreign goalkeeper, and he's come to Wellington and made an incredible impression. Yeah. You got Thomas down at Melbourne Victory. You got Galekovic in the some would say the twilight of his career, but he's still going great.
You mentioned Melbourne Victory, 1-1 draw with Melbourne City last night in a terrific pulsating derby, as they say.
Yeah, it was. It sort of didn't reach the heights of derbies previous, but it certainly had everything you'd expect from a derby: tight, torrid. Two coaches getting their teams to go at each other. Kevin Muscat would be the happier of the two coaches. They were down to 10 men after 15 minutes, with Niedermeyer being sent off for two yellow cards in the space of 2 minutes. So, yeah, look, probably a bigger point for Melbourne Victory than it was for Melbourne City, given the circumstances.
Winners: Jets v Adelaide United today, $2.50 the Jets, $2.60 Adelaide, $3.70 the draw. Western Sydney up against Perth Glory, $4, $4, $1.80.
I'm going to go for a draw in the Newcastle-Adelaide game. I think Newcastle have had the travel, but Adelaide, because of the ACL during the week, they are in Japan. Just got back Friday morning. Ernie did rest a lot of players last weekend. They played during the week, but I don't think Adelaide aren't convincing me at the moment.
Right. That'll be 6-0 then. Last time you tipped the draw, it was 6-0. Anyway, yeah, keep going, mate. So that's 370 for the draw. That won't happen. Now, Western Sydney up against Perth.
What sort of reception does Popper get this afternoon?
Well, ooh, I think good question.
I think it'll be split. I do. I think there'll be plenty of plenty of banter, but they weren't happy with the way he left and the timing of it. There's no doubt about that. But on the flip side of that, he delivered them so much success, including an Asian Champions League title. So, I think the hatred for him will be skin deep, no deeper. But he'll get a reception, no doubt. I'm going to tip Perth Glory. Popper will come back and horn his old side. I think they'll get the points on the road.
And who'll ever forget the thoughts of Mitchell Duke, who on this program during the course of the week said that they can still make the semi-finals. You said he's kidding himself, delusional. The kid needs to wake up to himself, but you are prepared to apologise on air when and if the Wanderers make the playoffs.
And I'm still waiting to hear what you're going to do for me, Jimmy, when my prediction is right.
Well, it's not my prediction, it's Mitchell's.
No, I know. But when my prediction is right, but you got something, you drag something out of me to do on air. So what are you going to do for me when I'm right?
1353 53 is the line number. We'll be open to suggestions to that. We'll be open to suggestions.
The power of the host.
I'll ask Don from Carlton to chime in with a suggestion.
Oh, Don from Carlton. Yeah.
I met Parramatta on Friday.
At the lunch. Yeah, he said he had the lunch.
Had a really good chat with him.
He
looks almost half normal, doesn't he?
He's a great guy. Well, he made me look abnormal.
Did you meet Kathy from Collector? She was there?
Yes. I think I did, actually. Oh. Yeah. But I had a really good chat with Parramatta, and he was telling me exactly how he feels about you, Jimmy.
1350. He tells me every Sunday morning. That I don't read out half the stuff that comes through. There you go. Thank you, Mossy.
Thanks, guys. Good luck.